May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
So, because I've been here a few times now, I think it's been 11 years I have marked as bishop here, I thought I could get away with doing something a little different this morning. And rather than a typical sermon, which is what I've always done every time that I'm here, what I'd like to do is say something about our wider Dawson family, to remind us who we are as a whole, and to remind us what our challenges may be that lie ahead of us. Sorry, I'm at the tail end of something that's driving me crazy, so I ask for your indulgence. But first, something about you as a parish. There was a Canadian who was visiting a sheep station, as they call it, in Australia. And he was visiting a friend who owned a sheep station in Australia. And when he arrived, he was given the royal tour. And they walked around and covered all of the territory. Well, not all of it, because the sheep stations in Australia are massive. But a good part of it. And then there was something that came to his mind as he was walking around, and he said to his friend who owned the sheep station, I said, you have hundreds of sheep, but I've not seen any fences. How do you keep your sheep from wandering away? And his friend looked at him and he said, well, we have wells. We have water. They say. This place, this parish community of St. John's, is your well, right? This is your baptismal well. This is a place where you place where you come to be refreshed and to be made clean. This is your banquet hall where you feed upon Jesus until you are satisfied and satiated. This is your home where you protect yourselves and where you protect each other from those things that can hurt you. This is your hospital. This is where you come to bind up and heal a damaged soul. This is your community, your family, where you pray the prayers of tears, where you laugh, where you feel deep joy with friends, where you feel deep sorrow with friends. I believe you are called to this place, and you will stay, because it is your well. It is where your baptismal water flows. And so here you are. And in these places of refreshment, nourishment, healing, laughter, and tears, we look, and we have looked, as a whole diocese, with all of the communities like yours, that make up part of this diocese, this is where we look to our roadmap, our embracing God's future roadmap, which some of you have heard about, some of you had not. Three years ago, a number of people gathered and thought, it's time to get our house in order. How do we do that? Individuals from across the whole diocese gathered and strategized and thought and prayed and argued and wept and laughed. And out of that, they came up with a number of priorities that they felt ought to guide the future direction of the parish. Those things that we should emphasize if we are in fact to get our house in order. And normally, that was 3 years ago. Normally, I wouldn't be talking about that now because that was 3 years ago. But Monica and Brian, who chaired an evaluation group, looked at our Embracing God's Future roadmap critically, and they interviewed many people and wrestled with what we came up with, what began 3 years ago, and we have been following for these last number of years. And the conclusion of that group and the recommendation that they have made is that it is still relevant and it is still appropriate for us. So because of that, it's worth talking about some more, because it's still relevant to us. And in that roadmap, that path forward that we embrace as a diocese, is our first priority, which some of you may remember, is our buildings in the shape of ministry. Part of our ministerial assessment includes a proper evaluation of the resources that we have at our disposal to support mission and ministry. And so much has happened. So much has happened as a result of Priority 1. We have realigned ourselves in more ways than I can even describe. We have sold some properties. Some of you are aware of St. Matthias. Some of you are aware of St. Michael and the Angels. St. Matthias has moved to join with All Saints Westboro. All Saints Sandy Hill is now part of St. Margaret's. The people of St. Michael and the Angels are now sharing time with Julian of Norwich. And then we have created team ministries in our parishes. The Parish of the Valley, four clergy supporting Eganville, Pembroke, Petawawa, Alice, Rankin, Stafford, the list goes on. Prescott, North Glengarry, Renfrew, the Parish of South Carlton, Mississippi Lake, St. Lawrence, West Carlton. Lots has happened in an attempt to be responsible, to get our house in order. And our real estate working group is currently working on 31 files and ways that we can do that. So, as one person said, we have managed our decline very, very well. Now, we have to manage our growth. Now we have to manage our growth. And our growth may not look as it once did, numeric, although there are parts of the diocese where that is in fact the case. Those parishes that are absolutely perfectly located demographically and population-wise and the ministry that they're embracing, they are. But we have been in partnership with the Diocese of Jerusalem now for almost 10 years. And the idea of a partnership is you learn from each other. And one of the things that we have learned from the Diocese of Jerusalem occurred to me and to others when we were in Nablus, the city of Nablus in the West Bank. And the priest there said, with all of the ministries that we have going on, hospitals, schools, street ministries, care for children, care for orphans, if you can use that word, there's so much that's happening. He says, isn't it interesting that here in the city of Nablus, which is about 130,000 people population, in the city of Nablus there are 600 Christians, which is completely reversal of what it used to be 50 years ago. But anyway, 600 Christians in the city of Nablus. And this priest at the parish said, if you were to ask anybody on the street, how many Christians they think live in Nablus, they would probably answer thousands. And they would answer thousands because there is so much going on that is providing care for the marginalized, that is seeking and longing for justice, that is advocating inclusion, that is advocating for peace, that is advocating care for children, for women, for those who are hungry, for those who have no shelter. There is so much going on that a person would say thousands. We need to learn from that. So if we pay attention to that example offered to us by our partners, then the question is asked of us as a whole diocese, then how do we manage our growth? And we must do so intelligently. Intelligent, as one theologian once said, popular theology is like a swimming pool, all the noises in the shallow end. So, it's true, you know that. And so we must manage our growth intelligently. And it may begin like this. There's a story of a monk in a community who had a very profound effect on the community. He was loved by all, he was revered by all, and his community approached him one day and they said, how come your life has brought so much goodness and grace to so many people? Why is that? And the monk thought for a while and he said, well, my name used to be me, and now my name is you. And I think we have reached a time in our diocesan life where our name is not me, it is you. I often thank God, maybe I can get shot for this comment, but I often thank God that the 80s and 90s are gone. We're in a new day and a new time, I think, in the church life. There was a day when we may have said, in the famous words of Woody Allen, the problem is not that God doesn't exist, the problem is that God's an underachiever. And you know, since God has opted to work through us to affect the mission of God, I would like to say, and I would like to think, that we have decided not to be underachievers. And we've decided to embrace the challenges that lie ahead of us, those challenges that will facilitate growth. Priority two, some would call it, sounds so structured, but anyway, priority two, engaging with the world. Here's how we're doing that. We have, interestingly, there are 76 clergy on the payroll in this diocese, 76. There are 170 people on the payroll engaged in community ministries. If you think about that for a minute, that's an astounding statistic. 76 clergy on the payroll, 170 people engaged in community ministries. And that includes, of course, Cornerstone the Well. Well, so to speak, you host it. It's here, Center 454, the Pastor Johnson Center at St. Luke's Table. Not to be smug about that and stop there and say we've done our work, we are currently working very, very hard to establish a street, a day ministry in Cornwall. When that finally gets rolling, as I hope and pray that it will, and it looks like it will, Pembroke. We are the largest sponsorship agreement holder in the city for refugees, with a full-time person working in that. We have full-time priests working with the Inuit community at St. Margaret's. These are affordable housing. The new Princeton campus opens in just a couple of weeks, which will provide housing for another 40-some women who have never had the pleasure, the privilege, and right to live in their own housing. Christchurch Bells Corners is encouraged to engage in a similar project that will house 45 families in this case. Our affordable housing community group has committed, our synod in fact, has committed us to provide 125 new affordable housing units by the time we hit our anniversary. I'm drawing a blank on what anniversary is. 125, of course. 125, 125th anniversary, 125 units. And none of this can happen if we don't actually nurture the wells that are throughout this diocese that keep our communities of people fed, nourished, healed, called, witnessing. And to that end, we have other priorities that have identified our Parish Ministry Institute, the School for Parish Development, which your incumbent Beth has been intimately involved with and given hours and hours and hours to the creation of those things. My job is to try and recruit the very best clergy that I can get my hands on. The very best. And we all collectively are challenged with the task of recruiting our very best volunteers. And the diocese made a decision a year ago, rather than using diocesan monies to prop up places so they can postpone their death for 5 more years, we decided to use that money to invest in those places that are doing creative and exciting ministries. That's a switch. I am so grateful that there are so many people in this diocese, and so many of them are sitting in these pews this morning. There are so many people in this diocese who are committed to the fact that we are called to grow. We had to manage our decline. Our country has changed, our population has changed, our demographic has changed, issues around faith have changed. Well, we've done that. And now I'm so excited to say that we have now embraced a culture of growth. Growth, kind of like the growth that is being experienced in our partner diocese and in the parish in the city of Annapolis. It's exciting. And I'm delighted to be able to celebrate with you this commitment to growth, this passion for ministry, and this passion, the passion we collectively share to exercise the mission of God, which mandates our care for people who are marginalized, people without housing, people without food, people without community, people without places to keep to be safe, people who are not included. I'm delighted to be able to say, this is our direction. We have so much more to do. We have so much more work to do. We have, and we found through our evaluation process, we have things we must do to improve what we've already done and to do things a little bit better than we've done in the past. But I celebrate with God that there is a longing amongst those who gather in the wells that surround our diocese, those places of nurture and mission, that we are mindful of each other. These community ministries would not exist without a collective care on behalf of the whole diocese. There would be no ministry at St. Margaret's to the Indian people without the care of the whole diocese. Affordable housing units could not be provided without the care of the whole diocese. If there was ever a day that congregationalism was a good thing, if there ever was a day, I'm not sure it was, but if there ever was, it's dead now. It's our thinking and our working together that is enabling us, I believe, to come one step closer to effecting that mission of God that we are each called to exercise. And if that is what we are called to be, then this parish is called to be the best well that you can ever be for those people day in and day out who wander into the doors of this parish and for those people who currently habitate the peace of this parish. It's a huge mandate, and I thank God for it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.